Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody. Today is Tuesday, July 7th, and this is Missy. And I am the host of Healing Hearts His Way. I am really excited to do today's show because we have a topic to talk about that affects everyone, and nobody talks about it. There were the days we talked about these sort of things, and then we have swung to the other end of the pendulum, and now most people don't say anything about their disappointments, their trials, and their hurts. So I just want to take a minute and begin this show with some prayer and ask God to just dwell with us today. So, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be a host for Healing Hearts His Way, God. This is your heart today to be here and to be with your people. And I just lay down, Father, all my agendas, my purposes, my will, and I humble myself. And I ask, Lord God, that you speak through me and that you will speak the word that we need to hear as your people as we run this race and as we are weary and as we are tired. And I thank you, God, for this opportunity. And I look to you as my provider in all things and in my words and my speech and my conduct and in my teaching and in giving love to one another. And I just praise you, God, and thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So, everyone, yes, this show is live and we do take calls. And the number to call in is 646-787-8522. Today I'm talking about disappointment. I'm going to talk about disappointment because I had so much disappointment in my heart last week that it was the first time that I let God down and I did not do this show for him. This show's not my idea. It's not, I'm a lot of things, as we all are, but a speaker I never thought of myself as. I don't mind speaking in front of people. That's never been my difficulty, but something happened to me along the way in life where I began to wonder if I had anything to offer and if I had any message for anyone. And, you know, God whispered in my heart and he asked me to create this show. And he said he had equipped me and he would lead me by the hand and he would take care of me and he would do this with me. And so I humble myself every single time. It's Tuesday and I get to this moment and the Lord and I have been speaking about what do we talk about, where does this go, because it's not just me and it's not just him. It is team effort and he's teaching me so many beautiful things. And he told me to go ahead and talk about my disappointment. So I just wanted to say last week, for people that do care and do listen to this show, I apologize that there was no show. I was having a human Missy moment, I suppose you can call it. And I'd like to share some of the things I've been going through that got me to that moment and what it is that has gotten me back on track. Because I think this is helpful for all of us. I do a volunteer ministry work, and I work with women mostly. Sometimes it entails men, but it's women who are involved in the adult entertainment business. So these are women who are dancers, prostitutes, all sorts of positions there that they have, that they earn a living through doing these things. And I work with them. I've been doing this for almost a year. I love it. Absolutely love it. The Lord has anointed my heart to have an abundance of love for all these people. And so my Thursday nights are spent inside some of the darkest places we have here in town. And not only are they dark inside, but they're dark outside. I'm going there usually late at night because they don't really get going till 10 or 11 p.m. And to drive to these places, they're usually out of the way and a little seedy and a little can be scary in the parking lots or, just it's just an area that's difficult. And but the Lord also, when He calls you to do something, He does equip you, and He has given me the grace to be able to just jump in there and do it. And so that's been an awesome experience, and I've been working with Girls Strongly at two different clubs. And at the first club that I have worked at, I haven't been there for a few months, and they moved me to a second club, actually two others that I'm mostly working with the girls there. But something happened at the first club that was very upsetting for me. Two of the girls that worked there, one murdered the other. And basically it was over heroin. There was also a drug dealer involved, a man, and the two just literally brutally murdered one of the girls that I had met and had talked with. And so the reality of sharing hope with someone, a very young girl, a 19-year-old girl who was a mother who had lived such a very short time and had been brutally murdered and left out in the woods, naked, was really hard for me to process. My heart really hurt, and it took off from there. There was that part, and then there was as if that wasn't enough, but that was a big disappointment for me, and it really hurt. And then in my own personal life, my husband and I have gone through complete changes. We have always worked. We've worked at our careers for a very long time. He at his for 33 years, and me at mine for 25. And all that ended for us in the past year with me taking care of my father who died of cancer. And my father was just the person that I loved the very most on this planet as far as just a human. He was just so sweet and awesome. And then my husband became very sick, and he has an illness that's not going to go away unless the Lord just heals him, which we are fully believing in that and absolutely know that that's going to happen for him, that God will heal him. But in the meantime, we have experienced some huge setbacks with absolutely no income, and those things affect your life. You wake up in the morning and your routine's different. Your provision is different. And wow, so just everything changes. And so we've been going through that. So all those things, I can deal with those things. Those are life. And I have a huge thing that I deal with personally. My eldest son is 36 years old and he has schizophrenia. And we are on year 15. He developed it while he was in the military. He has, for some people who can just simply understand it this way, PTSD. He was in the military through 9/11 and onwards for a few years. And a lot of people don't even realize what this country has gone through since that time militarily. Some of you do. And so it's a walk that I never expected to walk. I had no idea what severe mental illness was or meant, and what it would look like for your child to have that, and for you to be the parent and watch your child be tormented day and night, and there is not anything that you can do except, as I'm going to get to here, turn to God in a much deeper way than what I was used to. Turning to God. So I'm on 15 years of that, and I will tell you, it is the hardest thing I've ever had to walk through. It's extremely heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, hard to watch a person go through that, through homelessness, through drugs, through alcohol addiction, through self-abuse, through other people brutally bullying somebody that they see is lesser than. So you know, the Lord has been working with me in so many areas, and He's so awesome. He's just so awesome. But He gave me a bigger heart through these things, and once He did, then He gave me another person with mental illness to take care of, who is my son's roommate, and it's a beautiful, awesome story, which I'll be so happy to share one day. And his name is Vaughn. My son's name is Josh, and I think Vaughn will come on the show with me one day. And his whole life turned around, and God has been so kind to show me that He will take things that look so desperately horrible, and He will turn them around. But what I have learned is it's not usually overnight. It is a process, and it takes a long time. And you have to have a lot of faith, and you have to cry out for more faith, and you have to walk in your faith. And so I have been learning so many things, and God has been my rock. I grew up in a religion that is considered a cult, and I was never taught about the Holy Spirit. I heard the name Jesus, but maybe only once or twice. And I thought of God as a judge. Although He was a just judge, He was scary, and He always sat in this big throne. And He had a gavel in His hand and the Bible open. And I knew that I had broken every rule in that book. And from the time I was a young child, I just assumed that was the case, and that there was no hope for me. And so as a child, I had that mindset, and I just felt defeated before I ever got started. And then I was sexually abused as a child by a neighbor for several years out of my life. I think it was 5 years. And, you know, that was difficult to walk through, and affected the outcome of my adult life in many ways. But, you know, God, He's awesome. He was there for me even when I didn't know, and He reached out to me, and He has just been leading me by the hand, even when I had no idea that He was. So that was all awesome. And then I came into some understanding 5 years ago. The Lord, He baptized me with the Holy Spirit. I don't know. People call it all different things, and I didn't even have words for it because I didn't know the Holy Spirit existed when it happened. So it's really an awesome, beautiful story that I would like to share one day also. But for today, we'll stay on track. And I will just say 5 years ago, the Lord just poured Himself into me, and immediately I began to take on the mind of Christ and His heart. He gave me at times His eyes, and He has just pulled me along leaps and bounds with being able to overcome the sins that had just held me bondage all my life, and put within me a hope and excitement for what the future could contain. So I wrote a book about my life, and wow, it just made so much sense. The Holy Spirit just burdened me with the desire to share my story, because it was one I feel like could give so many people hope. So I wrote a memoir. I wrote this memoir. I think it was actually self-published in 2010. It's probably been at least 5 years, maybe 6 years even being finished. But an interesting thing happened to me that I didn't see coming either, and that was the people I thought that God had put in my life to help me with that book, stole my story, and have used it as a blackmail over me at times. They have used it and talked with it in different ways. And I have been fighting a battle to get my story out there for at least 5 years. And, you know, I just got to that point with the Lord that I said, I'm just this disappointment of my entire life. I'm just going to accept that I really have a disappointment, because I've always been very happy and positive. And in spite of all those things I just shared with you, everybody around me will tell you, Missy is so happy and positive. How do you do it? And, you know, I had my moments of crying. Usually I tried to do that in the shower so nobody could see me or know that I cried. But then I would just, you know, buck up and be strong. And I will say I grew up with four brothers and I raised three sons. So I didn't have a whole lot of time of being a female and sitting around and crying. I was a tomboy, and the Lord did put inside of me a strength that I have. So I haven't been sitting around feeling sad or sorry for myself, but something happened recently that rocked my world and took me to a different level of disappointment. And that was, had a conversation with my mom, and she knows the Bible forwards and backwards, and I love my mom so much. And we began a discussion somehow that was about the Holy Spirit. And it was so innocent, and it was just a statement I just blurted out of my mouth of just being so happy the Holy Spirit showed me this or that. And while it just spiraled out of control very quickly and probably for at least an hour, it was a heated discussion, and that's probably saying it politely, but she told me that it was impossible for me to hear from God except and only by reading the Bible, and he speaks to you only through his word. And now I know that's absolutely true, that the Lord does speak to you through his word. So I don't have any problem with that. But she wouldn't have any listening to me say, Mom, it might just be more than that. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit speaks with me in other ways. And she said that there isn't a Holy Spirit, but that the spirit that people are confused about it is simply the Spirit of God that does things on earth. And so sometimes, you know, it's just technicalities, it's word differences. But I walked away from that discussion. I drove my lengthy hours home after my visit, burdened in my heart and sad, because everywhere I look, people interpret the Bible differently. They interpret what a Christian is differently. Right on the same day, the Supreme Court decision came down, and I began seeing my Facebook flooded, just flooded with people saying all kinds of things, all kinds. And you all know what I'm talking about because you have Facebook, you've read those things, and you've had your say and opinion. And I just became filled with despair over all these like inconsistencies of what it's like to be a Christian, because for me, it's about unity. It's about sacrificing to have unity. It's about being humble. And I try to walk that out every day in my life. And I just felt really frustrated and really disappointed at those things, and I began to look at my entire life, and I spent a couple of days, maybe 4 days, and I just said, God, what is going on, and what is my purpose, and, you know, what are you doing, what are you doing, what am I doing, what are we doing? I'm trying to do a radio show, Killing Hearts His Way, and I see so much pain in the world, and so much sadness, and so much brokenness, and I see murder with people that I thought you sent me to. I see a family that is split in so many directions because of trying to worship God. We all worship the one same God. We're all trying to get there, but we're all on different roads. And I think that's okay, but I just wanted to be able to have unity and love in my own family. And to have some consistency in life. And I began to feel like the sand that I was standing on was shifting and that my foundation wasn't as strong as I wanted it to be. And I just questioned things, and it brought me to this point today to be able to talk about what God, does God think about disappointment. And, you know, I probably have 50 sheets of paper here in front of me because I study things and I research, and what I discovered is, God talks about disappointment in the Bible. He didn't leave us without instruction for that. The apostles, with the apostles, the Lord told them, Paul talked to us. He said that he had disappointments, and at times I think that the Lord gives us disappointments so that we will learn to trust him more fully. And Paul said, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we were despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So Paul, the apostle, that I just we just love the apostles. They're our examples. They are walking it out. And they had time with Jesus on earth. And Paul had time with the Holy Spirit teaching him. And Jesus said to us that we were going to have troubles. In John 16:33, he says to his disciples, that there is no doubt that they will experience toils and troubles in their life. But he also promises that he's more powerful than anything that we're going to face. And so there's some simplified things I could say to you of how to face disappointment. One is to always remember that God is a comforter and that he comforts his people. And that God is in control, no matter what lens one interprets the Bible through, what their theology is. God is God, and he is in control. We were created for his delight, and this whole divine plan is his. Nothing takes him by surprise. He is in charge of everything that is happening. Sometimes God uses our disappointments to turn our hearts towards him. So there are some, some basic things that probably you guys are all way ahead of me and have already thought of, and I'm just trying to get to. And my soul was just still looking for some answer to, I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes until I find the answer for my spirit, it just isn't at rest. And last night, it was probably 1 in the morning. It was like, I'm going to read one more thing, we're going to do one more thing. And I came to a writing by someone named Daniel Yorty. This was written in 2012. But he says to us that there are three places that we begin to know God. And he likens it into the tabernacle of Moses. And he says to us, many who first enter the door into the holy place, they gravitate towards the table of showbread. The Bible suddenly becomes alive for us in a way we had never known before. Verses leap off the page, and we see the living Lord Jesus Christ in new and incredible ways. Our hearts are so filled with joy as we understand that Christ is alive inside of us. And we read the words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you are complete in him, and our spirit shows us the meaning of those realities far beyond what our minds had ever previously told us. And then there's a second place. Many of us still hunger for more, and we move forward. And we run into the table that has the lampstand on it. And many are drawn to the lampstand, the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And they, of course, enrich our lives. We pray for healing. And people are healed. We prophesy, and others prophesy over us, and we feel God's hand guiding our steps. And we begin to dance before the Lord in joy. Then, somewhere along that line, after we become comfortable with the living word and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we begin to notice a third piece of furniture. We begin to notice something in the holy place. And the Lord begins talking to me about this. Oh, I don't know if I have dates on this, but I've been keeping a folder of what he's been showing me. And yes, the Holy Spirit does speak to me. He speaks to me with his words in the Bible. He speaks to me in my heart. He speaks to me with impressions. And he was showing me that the third piece of furniture is the altar of incense. God uses different cues for each one of us that draw our attention to the something more in God's house. To some of us, it's a word on being conformed to the image of Christ or Christ being formed in us. To others, it was a word of holiness and to be separate unto the Lord. Some feel a deep call to go on to know the Lord in ways we had not known him before. Some heard a word on union with Christ. Christ, others a call to overcome. Whatever the means, God was the one calling us to know him in a way that would require a transformation on the inside of us. We responded to that call, and in doing so, we find ourselves engaged with this third piece of furniture in the holy place, the altar of incense. It's not that we leave behind us the word of truth made alive or the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. It's just that somehow we knew those things were given to us for a purpose way beyond enjoying revelation or praying for healing or leading lost souls to Jesus. Those things remain important, but the altar of incense called us at the place of God dealing deeply with our own hearts. And we begin to say to God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. At the altar of incense, God begins to take us all apart. We think we're drawing nearer to him, and at times we probably even believe, how can we get any closer? This is so amazing. It's so wonderful. And then we find ourselves flat on our face in some kind of difficulties, disappointments, and discouragement. Then the scourging hand of God moves, seemingly against our every way. But we still cling to him in spite of our confusion, because the call deep inside, beckoning us on to know the living God, just doesn't stop. And so he begins to tell us about the three entrance points into the three levels of experience with him, that these places of knowing God, how they happen. And what we find out is when we enter the first gate, the altar of sacrifice where the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was offered to take our sins away, you entered into the way that leads to life. Then second, there's the door into the holy place. When you first heard of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you sought God earnestly. At first, you can't see your way. The path into this deeper place of knowing God isn't clear, and yet you wait on God in faith. Suddenly, the door opens wide, and you entered into the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so you go through these two levels with God, and most of us can relate. We can say, wow, we've gone onto those two levels, but there's a third level that seems to be taking place in my own life, and that is of reading. Sometimes I just get so excited and lose my spot here, but that third place, coming into the altar of incense, is a place of entering in through the veil. And we know Jesus, when he died, he tore open the veil so that we could come and be with God and dwell with him. But to enter into the veil with the first two, when Jesus comes into our life and he shows us that he's the sacrifice for our sins, he does that for us. It says, no man comes to the Father unless he draws him. And we go to Jesus when he draws us to him. He carries us in through that gate, broken, dirty, battered, sinful, and at the bottom of the barrel, he carries us in. And then we get cleaned up and we walk some more, and he takes us in through the door, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he just pours it into our life, and he transforms our mind, and he transforms our heart, and rivers of living waters begin to flow out of our bellies, and we're connected into the stream, and we're giving of Jesus and God, and we're just doing all the things that we know about in our Christian walk. And then one day, it's as if we become blind, and we become discouraged, and we become lost. And It's at this period that I find myself looking for the veil blindly. And it's something that I'm learning about still and trying to understand, but it's at this point that we understand that it's giving up all the desires of our own flesh. And letting Jesus live his life through our bodies, not just our hearts, not just our minds, not just our will, not just with his spirit, but our actual flesh. We allow Jesus to become our flesh. And I know this sounds maybe just a little bit new or different, or perhaps you understand it and you're already there, but for me, it's like, I was there sometimes, but I didn't understand the depth of sacrifice that the Lord was requiring of me as a Christian. And he started talking to me about the threshing floors and the altars. And what I want to say is that my disappointments were me on the threshing floor. And every time something gave me a blow, it was me on the threshing floor, and it is as if I was the wheat, and God was separating the chaff, and he was allowing the trampling, allowing the movement that's pressure, and he allowed me to lay on the threshing floor and to walk through these disappointments. And then what I began to discover was that there were times that God met people at the threshing floor, and he even asked them to build an altar there. And when I thought about that, I was like, God, what are you telling me? That just seems so strange to me. I don't understand. And so I looked in Scripture, and in 2 Samuel 24, verse 16, it says, and when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil, and he said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Anariah the Jebusite. And then in another scripture it says, and Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Anariah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon that altar of a burnt offering. So the Lord says to us, there is a sacrifice that he desires. In Psalms 51, verse 17, and it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not destroy. You know, I could go on with this, but I think what you all probably get my point, and you understand that what I'm trying to say is, you know, we do live in tough times, and our foundation has to be secure, and we know where we can stand. We know the foundation, the Word of God is our rock. Jesus is our rock, our foundation. He led the way. And he asked us to become his disciples. And in becoming his disciples, he says to us, you're going to experience tribulation and trouble in the world. It's not going to be just wonderful because you have followed my words and the laws that I've set forth so that you will receive just blessings. We live in a fallen world. Although the kingdom is advancing, God sends us into the darkness, we're taking back what is his. But he allows us to be on the threshing floor. And through that process, he allows us to meet him at an altar where we sacrifice and we lay down our life. And we give to him something that only each one of us can give to him. And that is our life to serve Him and to love Him and to love mankind, to be a light into this world. So I just want to encourage all of you to have hope, to understand that we go through some tough things. And I think what bothered me when I was going through my disappointment was I felt like I couldn't talk about it. There was not one person I could say, I'm hurt, I'm disappointed. And it really worked to my advantage because I did turn to the Lord and I shared all that with Him. And He's just so kind to still say, here I am, you're human. I expect that from you. It's okay. I even talked about it. I told you were going to have these times. It's all right. You know, David cried out many times, my spirit is broken. It's hurt. Don't take your spirit from me. We're human beings, and we're going to go through all kinds of emotions and experiences before it's all over. But what I would like to encourage all of us is to be Jesus Christ in the flesh as much as we can be, to give it our best shot, to be that example for the world and for each other, and to be there for one another, to hold each other's hand. And as David and Jonathan had their relationship, when David could have walked away so many times, he never did. Even going to back into the generations and looking, is there someone of the house of Saul that I can be kind to? And finding Jonathan's son and bringing him to the king's table. The Lord loves all of us. He wants us all to feast at His table. So I just thank you, each of you who listened today to Healing Hearts His Way. And I just want you to know that I appreciate you listening and listening to my heart. And I just want everyone to know that God loves you deeply and He's with each of us through every single thing that we go through. The Holy Spirit's there and He misses nothing. So until next Tuesday, this is Mitzi with Healing Hearts His Way. Have a great week.